Does the absolute philosopher exalt egoism as a virtue? This is the absolute philosopher here in Campo, California, University of Healing, University of Philosophy, bringing you the absolute philosopher. Does the absolute philosopher exalt egoism as a virtue? Egoism is defined the doctrine that individual self-interest is the actual motive of all conscious action. Egoism is a doctrine that individual self-interest is the valid end of all actions. Egoism concerns only for itself, unconditionally, without a feeling of self-importance. Interesting. What is the virtue that this is? Does the absolute philosopher exalt egoism as a virtue? Virtue is conformity to a standard of right, morality, a particular moral excellence, a beneficial quality or power of a thing, the valor, merit, or potency of it. Does the absolute philosopher exalt egoism as a virtue? Well, the absolute philosopher doesn't exalt anything. The absolute philosopher is. The absolute philosopher is one-pointed. The absolute philosopher is self-confident. The absolute philosopher is unconditional. The absolute philosopher is untouchable, one-pointed, unpossessed, non-judgmental. The absolute philosopher is self-determined, self-disciplined, self-dedicated, self-diligent. The absolute philosopher is unconditional love. The absolute philosopher doesn't exalt anything. When we go around exalting anything, then we have an ego problem. But an ego problem is where we feel that our ego needs to have attention, it needs to have approval, it needs to have appreciation by the world around us. However, when we are like an innocent child, we don't need approval. They say, this is one that amuses me so much, they say children have to have time to grow up and be children. They have to learn to play with their peers. They have to learn to play in the playground. They have to learn to share their toys. They have to learn to get along with one another. And I say to that, it ain't necessarily so. When a child is raised by his parent with, or parents, with values, those values are what a child uses in the playground. Those values are what the child uses in school, among his peers. Those values are his life. Now, one value is never to steal, or not to take something that doesn't belong to you, or only take things that belong to you when the day is over. If you ever see something you like and it does not belong to you, come and talk to your parents and see if there's a way that you can have one too. It's not necessarily that you cannot have it just because someone else has it, or that you need to have everything that somebody else has, but if you want it, it's something you talk about. You put a cause in motion to get it. Now, if parents taught their children about the law of cause and effect, that they put the cause in motion and they can accomplish anything they want to get, miracles happen. You know that? Miracles happen. You see, when children are given the opportunity to go out and play with their peers, what is it we're sending out to play with their peers? Are we sending out a little rattlesnake, or are we sending out a beautiful angel? If we're sending out a beautiful angel, that beautiful angel cannot be touched by the rattlesnakes. That beautiful angel cannot be touched by the mores, by the attitudes of his friends or her friends. The little angel is going to be such a glorious angel that their friends want to be like them. They want to emulate them. They want to live according to those principles. Now you see, when egoism is created from that realm, from that ground school, beautiful things happen. If a child sees its parents steal, if a child sees the father go in the mother's purse and take out some money and not tell the mother about it and just go on about his way, the child thinks it's okay for him to do that. Now, it may be okay for the father. Maybe the father had asked the mother, I need a few extra dollars. You got some? Yeah, go in my purse, you know. But the child doesn't know that. The child only knows that the father has gone into the purse and the purse was in another room, secret, so to speak, away from mama, you know. And papa's raiding mama's purse. He's purloining mother's money. And you see, we have to be so careful with how we live our life. Now, if the family taught that you never take something that doesn't belong to you, then what might the child say to the father when he sees the father take some money from the mother's purse? Daddy, did you ask mommy first? You know? Why? Because that's what he would do. He would say, mommy, can I have some money? And she'd say, yes, your lunch money's in my purse. Go get it, you know. And so then he goes and he takes a dollar. And the lunch money is a dollar. And there's a bunch of dollars there, but he takes $1 because that is what he was allowed to have and agreed to have. He would not think of taking more. He would just look at it and admire it, maybe. But he wouldn't even do that, perhaps, because it didn't belong to him. It was not part of his life. Now, you see, this, where do we get our virtue from? Where do we get our values from? Where do we get our merit and our potency of being worthwhile beings on the face of the earth? We get them as we are living our life, as we are being born. Now, if a child is picked up every time he cries, he's going to know that crying gets him picked up. And he can manipulate the family. Well, now, you got to pick him up because, well, he might be wet. So what? Bite your tinks and go away, you know. Everybody loves their child and doesn't want them to cry and doesn't want them to be unhappy. But if you go and pick him up every time he cries, he's going to use that to manipulate you. Now, I'm my dog. When he barks, he wants my attention. He wants me to pay attention to him. He wants me to come to him. He wants me to do these things. I'm sitting 10 feet away, and I pay no attention to him. And so then he stops barking. And if he's not on the leash, he will come over and he'll lay on my feet. And he'll realize that I am the one who determines when I'm going to go and visit him, when I'm going to take him out for a walk, or when I'm going to do something. You see, he has to learn those values. When he learns those values, then he is a good dog. But when he doesn't learn those values, he's not harmonious with society. Does the absolute philosopher exalt egoism as a virtue? No. But the absolute philosopher knows it. He knows this as unconditional love. He knows this as not needing attention, not needing approval, not needing the world to say, oh, how wonderful you are. He knows that. Now, what do we know? How well have we been raised by our parents or our society? How many stories have you watched on television where there is murder and robbery and rape and all these other lovely things? How many have you watched? And how wonderful you feel. You know, we watched Paladin, we watched Maverick, we watched all these television shows where in the old West they shoot people down and so forth. That doesn't happen. That is not the normal thing. We don't want to create a society of that, but we sell guns to children. Play guns, to be sure, but they look very real. And we tell them how to use them. And we sell these big squirt guns now to children. And the squirt gun has so much pressure and power in it, it can virtually knock you down. And if you got hit in the eye, you'd hurt your eye very badly. Now, they're dangerous weapons. But we say, oh, isn't that cute? You see, when we don't teach our children values and lessons, they don't get it. They don't get it. The young man I met on the airplane who was coming out here to get on a naval ship, an aircraft carrier, I said to him, you know, the kamikazes would come in and blow off our deck. And then After that happened, we put out the fire. I said, wow, how wonderful. Everybody thought I was crazy. I said, yeah, we go to Pearl for 6 weeks for liberty, because we can't be on the ship while they're fixing it up. You know, it's too much of a mess and so forth. And, oh, hey, I hadn't thought of that, you know. You see, it's not the normal thing. The normal thing is everybody worrying, oh, dear, we have to, you know. And how wonderful it is when you can create yourself getting away from the war. You create yourself getting away from conflict. You create yourself getting away from unhappiness. And you certainly create yourself continuing to be alive. Because the more you're out there, the more you're subject to the enemy, the more chance you have of having your ship go down and dying. There have been a lot of beautiful young men that died, and they didn't even know how to tie their shoes virtually, you know? They were just 17, 18-year-old kids. The prime of life. The magnificent ones of our society, not the 4Fs who were ill in one way or another, but these were the prime kids. They were perfectly healthy, perfectly wonderful. And what were they taught? So I told this young boy who was going out here to get on his ship, I said, you're going to go out there and you're going to have fun. There's no war. There's nothing to be a challenge. You're going to go out there and you're going to be the best sailor that ever sailed the seas. And you're going to have a lot of fun. And when opportunity comes along, you're going to say yes to that. Normally in the Navy, they say, never volunteer. And I say, volunteer for what you want to volunteer for the minute it comes to your attention, because you might not have a second chance. And he was quite pleased. He was thinking, hey, I had never heard of it said that way. And then he went on his way. Wow. Now, could his parents have said something like that to him? Could his neighbors and his friends said something like that to him? You see? It's a matter of, where are our values? Or do we want to say, protect yourself from venereal disease and protect yourself? My gosh, what do you think these kids are going to do? Go out there and be indecent? Either go out there and have sexual experiences with everything? But what do you think they're going to do? You think they're going to do that, and you're putting the cause in motion. Ellen was telling us about the young people going to Africa and how AIDS is so dominant or prominent there. And the children were told to be careful, you know. Well, be careful of what? The young people should be told, go out there and be in good health. Live in good health. Share with them your attitude of good health. Share with them, I live in my eternally perfect ideal, spirit, mind, and body. My body is the temple of the living God. The temple of the living God! My goodness, does the absolute philosopher exalt egoism as a virtue? He surely lives it. He lives in the temple of the living God. Because that's what a master is. That's what the absolute philosopher is. That's what you are, and that's what I am. Do you care? Or do you feel sorry for yourself? If you feel sorry for yourself, you're alone. If you care, the world is there with you, and everyone loves you just as much as you love yourself. You're wonderful. You're fantastic. The absolute philosopher is always there with you, sharing beautiful thoughts, beautiful dreams, and beautiful ways. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you.